Okay, this last week we, in the midst of studying the environment of jealousy, it is no accident that the first negative that Paul mentions is jealousy. Spiritual love is not jealous. And that's where we're in the midst of studying. And I try to show you why it is so powerful and destructive in history. It's what caused Satan to rebel against God. He became jealous of God. It's what caused the first murder. Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. And this is the power of jealousy. And you don't make a decision not to be jealous. You make a decision to love as Christ loved in the power of the Spirit. That love will not permit jealousy. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the study of God's precious word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you have given to us the spiritual ability to combat these estrogens, these things that would go in and destroy our spiritual life, our relationship with your Son, your Spirit, and with you and your Word. Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to see this morning from your Word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week, just to kind of fill you in, we took up point one, how jealousy, envy, functions is really remarkable. It is one of the most powerful, destructive of mental attitude sins, and yet it's one of the most foolish. It's most foolish. You're occupied with Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, have inner happiness, inner peace, and then, pow, all of a sudden, jealousy rips through your soul, destroying the environment of that love in your soul. Then under point two, source. Where does this come from? I don't like it, so where does it come from? People, it comes from the old man. It comes from our flesh nature. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment. Galatians chapter 5. And when we look at Galatians chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by means of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's who and what we are in our first birth. It's our flesh nature, an inherited sin nature. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, in the next class, we're going to take a look at how do you come out from under the power of the flesh nature. And what a lot of people teach, and I used to, that while you're dead in sin in the flesh nature, you confess your sins, and God responds to that confession and fills you with the Spirit. There's so many things wrong with that. First of all, the flesh does not want, even desire at all, to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not going to do that. And then secondly, if we do something from our flesh nature, that's a works. That's saying that God responds to works. And he doesn't. But I just want you to see, that under verse 16, 17, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And I think it's interesting here, law is put in a opposite relationship with the flesh. You got law and flesh. And so all of a sudden he's talking about the flesh, and all of a sudden he says, you're not under the law. Because the law is designed in the flesh nature, to control the flesh nature. The Ten Commandments, do not, do all of these things, that's to control your flesh nature. You can't do it. So you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and then I love this, and things like this, things like these. Just in case I miss you in my list, and you say I didn't get you, it's things like these, of which I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, with that in mind, look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And here we have another discussion in dealing with our flesh nature. Let's just pick up our reading at verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into the bondage of sin. Okay, there's that flesh nature again. I'm under the bondage to my inherited sin nature. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. And it amazes me that people still want to say, you confess from that state where nothing good's inside of you, you've got to confess to get back into the filling of the Spirit. There's no way that that's possible. That is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want to. But if I'm doing the very thing I do want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I don't know if that's the old, what was his name anyway, the devil made me do it. And I didn't do it, the devil made me do it. I don't know if that fits here, but that seems to be what he's saying. Verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And then in all of chapter 8 is about the Holy Spirit. So that's the solution to the problem. So under point 2 now, the source of jealousy is from the old man. It is the nature in man to be superior, to be better, to have that advantage in life. And the moment self sees that someone else is happy, someone else has something that I do not have, self rises up. Self feels threatened. And it is from this occupation of self that we are actually opposed to the prosperity of others. And here we took up three principles, very important ones. Principle 1, While most all other sins have some pleasure associated to them, some temporary feeling of self, jealousy does not. There's no pleasure in jealousy. Principle number two, no one admits to being jealous or envious. And then three, no one ever envies an envious person. No one ever envies a jealous person. In fact, we say, I don't want to be like that. Then major point three, first, jealousy causes you, the believer, to feel threatened by the prosperity of others, what others have. You see what they have, and you feel threatened, and then resentment sets in, and then all of the things that jealousy brings about into our lives. Point four, then comes dissatisfaction. You see the difference, you see how they have had that advantage, you're dissatisfied with what you have. You're dissatisfied with your spiritual life. You're dissatisfied with who you are. You're dissatisfied with your wife or your husband. You're dissatisfied with your children. You're no longer content with who you are in Christ. Because jealousy, you're not satisfied. You're dissatisfied. And then point five, instead of sharing their happiness, instead of being happy for them, your soul becomes troubled. There's no happiness in hearing of the advantage of someone else. That brings us this morning to point six. We do not have time to study every occurrence of how jealousy works, but there are some perfect examples in the Word of God. If you'll turn in your scriptures to Esther chapter 5. I love the book of Esther. It really doesn't talk about God. You read the whole book, you won't have talking about God. But it is about him. Now, it's about, the book of Esther is about a Persian king. This is when Babylon had lost its power to the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. So that's where we are. In Ezekiel, we're studying the Babylonian Empire. Now we're looking at Esther at the Persian Empire. The king is Xerxes, X-E-R-X-E-S. And Esther is a Jew born in Persia, and she has a Persian name. Her name is Esther. It means star or heavenly body. But I wouldn't recommend marrying a girl because her name is Esther, thinking you're going to get a heavenly body. You might get a hellraiser or something. Okay, but her name means star or heavenly body. Now, in the empire at this time, under Xerxes, is his secretary of state. His name is Haman, H-A-M-A-N. He's a Persian. He's a secretary of state. He's a friend of the king, has great power, great wealth, as a Jew hater. He hates the Jews. Now, in chapter 5, Esther, who now belongs to the king Xerxes, after she won a beauty contest, and I'll tell you right now, it's up for debate as to whether or not she came before the king nude. Because that's why Xerxes got rid of his former wife, because she would not. So Esther gets his praise, and so the ideal is that she pleased him in that respect. She apparently was a very beautiful woman. And so she came to the king, and her uncle Mordecai told her to have this big party for the Jews. She's going to throw a royal banquet for the king. And Haman is invited. Now, Haman has set up in the king to destroy all Jews. Kill them. Now, let's look at verse 8 Esther chapter 5, verse 8, where we come in dealing with this great banquet that she has planned to go. Okay. So Esther, verse 7, Esther replied, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king," and she well has, "and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." So, king and Haman are invited, which makes Haman, by the way, extremely happy and pleased. Now, let's look at verse 9. "Then Haman went out that day glad and pleased of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand up or tremble before him," meaning before Haman, "Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai." Haman controlled himself, however, went to his house, and sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches, and the number of his sons, and every instance where the king has magnified him, and now he had promoted him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman also said, "Even Esther," now he doesn't know she's a Jew, "even Esther the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet which she has prepared, and tomorrow also I am invited by her with the king. Yet all this does not satisfy me. Every time I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate." So he is really upset with what's going on. Now, he's so jealous of this Mordecai, it destroyed his happiness. It destroyed his arrogance that he was so popular and so well known. And again, it is the worst damage you can do to your soul is to reap jealousy. Let it simmer inside your soul. And again, the way to combat it is not to say, "I will not be jealous." The way to combat it is to say, "I will love as Christ loved." Love will not permit jealousy. But if we say, "I will not be jealous," that's when it rises to the top. Okay, let's go to point 7. Jealousy, envy, when it penetrates past spiritual love. So here's spiritual love. Jealousy, envy, it's blocked from it. But if it seeps through, gets past spiritual love, enters your soul, here's what happens. You do not desire Bible doctrine. You do not want to take in the Word of God. You no longer love His Word. You no longer desire relationship with Christ. Look at Acts 13. Book of Acts. Verse 13, or chapter 13. Let's read verses 44 and 45. "The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming in the process." Now, what happens is this. Because of their jealousy, they came to hear the word of God. They came to hear Paul teach. They saw all these Gentiles, all these Jews there, and they became jealous. That changed everything. No longer do they care about the Word of God. No longer do they want to hear the Word of God. In fact, they're going to contradict Paul's teaching. Now, Let's look at verse 44, or verse 45. They became jealous. The Greek word zeloo, Z-E-L-O-O, jealousy. They came to hear the word of God. They saw the crowds and became jealous and refused to hear the word of God and in fact countered the word of God. And if you'll notice, their countering caused them to become blasphemous. When they woke up that morning, they had no intention of being blasphemous against the word. They loved the word. They studied the Torah. They love it. But all of a sudden, jealousy has ripped through their soul, and now they're blaspheming God. That's how horrible jealousy is, people. They came to hear the word of God, they end up blaspheming. That's how destructive this is. It will cause you to want to murder. So they refuse to hear the word of God. This happens to believers today. You leave your home or work to come to hear the word of God. Then upon arriving, you see someone or something that you resent. You wished I had it. Or you resent them having it. Jealousy or envy rips right through you, and you no longer desire fellowship of the word of God. You drove here, you got out of your car, and boom. Right then, you walked into the church, maybe you didn't even get out of your car, but you came into the church, and jealousy ripped right through, and now you don't care about any teaching of the Word of God. You don't desire it any longer. Because of jealousy, you do not desire to hear the Word of God. In fact, you reject it. Point 8. Jealousy, envy, breaks in, and now you have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. See, you were filled with the Spirit by faith. And then you saw this person or thing or whatever. You saw how his children were excelling, or their husband or their wife or whatever it is. And you just, boom, it just went right through your soul. That's how quick jealousy, envy are. So it breaks. You have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You're now filled with the mental attitude sin of jealousy, envy. You break out of fellowship. You lose all the benefits of fellowship. You lose the benefit of the Holy Spirit, like inner peace, inner joy, inner happiness, spiritual love. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit are gone. Jealousy destroyed your whole structure of your soul at that point. You cannot have inner happiness and jealousy at the same time. The moment that you let jealousy in, it's all over. Spiritual love becomes deficient. See? And so, you no longer want it. You are not in the filling of the Spirit. Now, the great issue for you, when that happens, not quit worrying about them. I've got to get back into the Holy Spirit. Comes the great question. How do I do that? This is where a lot of preachers drop the ball. They tell you to get back into the Spirit, or you need the Holy Spirit. They'll say how. How do you get back into the filling of the Holy Spirit? By faith. They get back to what you stopped doing. You were walking and trusting the Holy Spirit. You stopped doing it. Get back into doing it. And you're back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. Alright, point 9. Jealousy, envy also attacks your faith. Now that's what's required to get back into the filling of the Holy Spirit. But your faith is attacked by jealousy and envy. That's very important. I want you to get that in your soul. Jealousy attacks faith. See? You no longer trust God to supply all your needs. You no longer desire to operate on the faith principle before God. You trusted God, and now you think He's let you down. There are so many promises in the Word of God that assure us that God will supply our needs if we trust Him. But all of a sudden, well, He's not supplying. their kids are better than my kids. Just using that for the example. Their kids are better than my kids. How's it supply my needs? See? Their kids are graduating from high school, going to college. My kid's getting out of jail. What kind of deal is this? See? Well, be thankful he's getting out of jail, I guess. But that's what happens to us. We immediately become dissatisfied with what we have. Before this happened, you loved your husband, you loved your wife, you loved your children, you loved your home, you loved your transportation, but all of a sudden, these are all inadequate. Because you compared them with somebody else, and you became jealous of them. So, once jealousy moves in, the believer does not desire to trust the Lord, does not desire to trust the Holy Spirit. Boom, it's out. You refuse to operate on faith. It is our faith that overcomes the world. 1 John. What overcomes the world is our faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. So when your spiritual immune system, love, is camouflaged and destroyed by jealousy, jealousy rules in your spiritual life. And your life becomes deficient. No fellowship with the Holy Spirit. No interest in the Word of God. No desire to trust God. And no desire to learn about God. No desire for happiness. You don't even want to be happy. You don't even want to be happy. You want to be upset. That brings us to point 10. Of course, this means there's no hope. No concentration on eternity. No thoughts on eternal rewards. No thoughts on crowns, ruling with Jesus Christ in honor of the morning star. No special fellowship with Christ in eternity. These things mean nothing to you. See, you don't care about eternal rewards, eternal status. All you care about is now. Now. Right now. What you have and what you don't have compared to what you're looking at. See? Hope is protected by spiritual love. We've not studied this aspect of it. But hope, which is very important in our life, is protected by spiritual love. Spiritual love protects hope. Jealousy destroys all hope. If you desire rewards in eternity, you must develop spiritual love. Spiritual love will protect hope, confidence. Spiritual love will cause you to gain rewards in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. Do not be concerned about what others have here on earth. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are below. That's the way you counter these things. See? The effect of jealousy in your soul, to your spiritual life. You do not desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You do not desire to learn about the Word of God. You do not desire to associate with other believers. You have no faith in the plan of God. Your whole life is in turmoil. I can just imagine, when I was studying this, what Cain must have happened that morning. He woke up, offered an offering to God. Dear God, this is my best. God accepts his brother's offering, doesn't take his, and all of a sudden, Cain changed. He changed immediately. It ripped through his soul. And for him, the solution, get rid of the object of my jealousy. Get rid of my brother. And he raised up a knife that he learned, by the way, from Abel. Cain didn't know about a knife. Abel was the one that had a knife for the animals, sacrificing animals. And that's where he learned to do it. So he took the knife and slit Abel's throat. Haman. Haman's invited to the banquet, friend of the king, second in command, all this stuff, the minute he sees Mordecai, not even an official, not even somebody important to the king, and it rips him apart, destroys all his happiness. Now all of a sudden, everything he has is not important. This one person, this one little Jew, destroyed everything about him. He allowed that person to do it. And Mordecai didn't do it. Haman allowed him to do it. See? That's how jealousy works, people. That's how destructive it is. It's a nature of jealousy to attack the entire spiritual life. So let's take a summary. One, once jealousy enters the believer, you lose your spiritual momentum with the Holy Spirit in doctrine, by faith, hope. Your spiritual life is attacked. See? AIDS sets in. The acquired immune deficiency syndrome sets in to your spiritual life. We know what AIDS does to the human body. Destroys, eats away the human body. AIDS to your spiritual life. The acquired immune deficiency syndrome, which is jealousy, will destroy your whole spiritual life. See? So many things begin to happen inside you. You cease to have inner happiness. It's already starting to eat away. That's how quick this immune system is. The AIDS are to your spiritual life. It eats away at your happiness. It eats away at peace. You're no longer at peace. You're no longer in harmony with God or the plan of God. You envy or jealous of what others have. No longer content with what you have. Jealousy and envy destroys contentment. Destroys contentment. Spiritual love not only guards contentment, but encourages contentment. Be pleased with who and what you are in Christ. You quickly become, when jealousy sets in, when AIDS and jealousy sets in, you quickly become a miserable person. That's why I said, there's no joy in this mental attitude sin. It's one of the few sins, nothing good about it. Totally foolish, nothing good. There are a lot of sins we commit that at least we have maybe a momentary happiness in the flesh. But not jealousy. It destroys everything. You quickly become miserable. It leads you to being trouble, a troublemaker, causing strife in your family, our work, our local church. You know, we don't have any record of what Adam and Eve had to say to Cain, but I'm sure they weren't very happy that he murdered his brother. See? He caused disruption in the family. See? You're doing fine in your relationship with Christ. Then you see what others have, how well they're doing, and your entire life is wiped out. Your spiritual life shot. Point two. So destructive was jealousy that God provided a special offering for jealousy. Let's look at Numbers 5. Numbers 5. Numbers 5. Verse 11 and following. We're not going to read all of it. But in Numbers 5, verse 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to him, and a man has intercourse with her, and it keeps on going through down to verse 31, all the way down to verse 31. Look at verse 29. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, being under the authority of her husband, goes astray and defiles herself, or when a spirit of jealousy comes over a man, and he is jealous of his wife, and he shall then make the woman stand before the Lord, and the priest shall apply all the law to her. Moreover, the man will be free from guilt, but the woman shall bear her guilt. Okay, so, jealousy. That there's a special offering for it, but I want you to understand something. There's a special offering for confession, which to me doesn't prove confession's wonderful. It proves how horrible it is. The denial. That's why you have confession in 1 John 1:9. It's 1 John 1:8. There's denial. And the solution to denial is stop denying and acknowledge. And then go to faith. See? But there are a lot of sins that there are offerings that are designed to cover those offerings. And look at Numbers 5, verse 15. Numbers 5, verse 15. The man shall then bring his wife to the priest and shall bring as an offering for her one-tenth of over a barley meal. He shall not pour all on it, nor frankincense, grain offering. For it is a grain offering of jealousy, a grain offering of memorial, a reminder of iniquity. So it's a grain offering of jealousy. You cannot have it. It's got to be dealt with. All right, point three. As a summary statement, jealousy, envy, is self-destructive. Self-destructive. It's the immune system of the flesh actually ends up destroying the flesh. Just like AIDS. AIDS is designed to protect the flesh. And what AIDS has designated as something foreign to the body is not foreign, but in the brain cells of the T cells, it identifies that as something foreign. So it wants to destroy it. It ends up destroying the body. That's what AIDS does. That's how it works. Or that's what jealousy does. It has decided something is an enemy that is not an enemy and destroys your whole spiritual life. See? So, it is the immune system of the flesh actually destroying the flesh. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart, a healthy heart, is vitality to life. Let's look at Proverbs 14:30. Let me just show you this. This is powerful. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body. But passion, and actually, it's the word jealousy. But jealousy is rotten to the bones. So it just destroys you immediately. And finally, point four, the importance to everyone who has the gift of pastor-teacher. Jealousy, envy is false motivation for teaching the Word of God. Philippians 1:15 teaches this. Destroys and causes strife. A pastor cannot afford jealousy of another pastor, of someone in the congregation, any of these things. He cannot do it. It'll destroy his soul and his ministry. Now, next thing we want to cover about jealousy, envy, is the environment of jealousy, envy outside of self. We've taken a look at the environment of jealousy, envy inside. How it destroys your happiness, your peace. But jealousy, envy creates an environment that others can see. So this is the environment outside of self. What the world sees. We study jealousy and envy creates an environment the world cannot see. But we now are looking at what that jealousy, envy creates inside that the world can't see. Now, just by contrast, spiritual love, what have we studied? It creates an environment in you, peace, contentment with who and what you are, but it also creates an environment that others can see. By this, all the world will know that you're mine. So spiritual love creates an environment that the world can see. Well, so does jealousy. It creates an environment that the world can see. See? It creates an environment inside of your life that the world can see. Alright, point one. The environment of jealousy, envy, in a local church. In a local church. It disrupts or destroys the entire local church. 1 Corinthians 13, we're not really taking a look at it this way, is placed in the setting of a local church. 11 and 12 dealt with spiritual gifts. 13, spiritual love. See? So, we've noted the last section, the most destructive areas of jealousy, envy was in your spiritual life, broken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. No interest in learning and applying the Word of God. No faith rest in your soul. No longer content with all that you have. Jealousy, envy, can actually cause you to disrupt an assembly of believers who assemble together to study the Word of God. So first it causes strife in your soul, and then in regard to others. Acts 17:5 introduces the principle of strife in a local assembly from jealousy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. This is the environment of jealousy, envy, and opposed to the environment of spiritual love. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion. So there's envy when you start doing this type of thing in the local church. This is the environment of jealousy, envy. It's opposed to the environment of spiritual love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and all we're going to do is read the first three verses. 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, not under the control of the Holy Spirit, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk, that's what you give a baby. I gave you milk. Not solid food, but you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? So I hope you understand it. Jealousy disrupts a local assembly. That's how it starts. And then pretty soon, you don't even see that aspect of it. All you are is in this turmoil. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 12. All this time, you have been thinking that you are defending ourselves. You have been thinking that we are defending ourselves. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, disturbances. That's in the local assembly. You can only imagine what they are like at home or somewhere else. This is where they are at church. This is where they are with other believers. See? Now, this is the environment in the local church. Same thing happens in the homes. This is in the work. Works, often work is disrupted by jealousy or envy. This environment is not conducive to growing in doctrine, which is what we're in this local assembly for. This environment is not conducive to production of rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. It's not conducive to our mission of the local church, to teach the Word of God, grow the Word of God, disseminate the Word of God. See? This is not the environment, but this is the environment that jealousy, envy creates. Point two. Jealousy, envy, like love, is a force that has great impact or effect. Not only do jealousy, envy destroy your own happiness, your own contentment with what you have in Christ, but it resents others and causes strife with others. Jealousy finds happiness, satisfaction in anything that happens to other people. I guess that counters what I said. There's nothing good about jealousy or envy. If something happens to the object of your jealousy or envy, you find a pleasure in that. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. Oh, I had it. Alright. And let's look at verse 34 and 35. Well, let's see here. Proverbs 6, 34. For jealousy, it rages a man. What happens inside your soul? And he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He's going to take it out. Cain killed Abel. Haman wanted Mordecai killed, wanted all the Jews killed. It's got to take advantage, take its vengeance out on the object of his jealousy. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied though you give him many gifts. You could try to, here, let me give you some money. Let me pay you not to kill me. Let me pay you just to calm down, whatever it is. It's not going to work. You are still the object of their jealousy. Therefore, they seek vengeance. Like it's your fault, God has blessed you. This is what it does. Spiritual love will not allow you to be prospered with that. See, this is what we're studying. Spiritual love allows God to prosper you without you getting others out of shape. Spiritual love allows God to prosper others without you getting out of shape. He can prosper someone else and you don't get jealous of them. But it also protects where he can prosper you and you're not arrogant and boastful, causing others to get out of fellowship. There's a wonderful way in taking a victory. There's a wonderful way to share the victory of others. But people, you can take a victory and turn it into a defeat. You can do that. One of the most beautiful stories that I know of in regard to defeat and victory is Ulysses S. Grant sitting at the table with Robert E. Lee after the battle. And it was over. And the whole war was over. And they just sat at the table. Lee had to remind Grant three times why they were at the table, why they came to the table to handle the surrender. Lee had to remind Grant of that. And finally, Grant just scribbled out some stuff. Didn't even take his sword. Boy, did that upset Sherman and the other generals. They were so mad, they wanted Lee to crawl. They wanted him to take his sword, his uniform, have him walk out in his underwear. I'm serious. They wanted him humiliated. Not Grant. Grant didn't want that. Take your horse and your sword. Go. Go home. And the rest of the soldiers were so antagonistic to that. And, of course, all of the things that happened after the war was over and the horror of those things. But, see, this is what we're talking about. Having jealousy, envy in your soul, or having spiritual love in your soul. Not having those things. Now, point three. Then jealousy, upon seeing the misfortune of others, doesn't just stop at being comforted. Doesn't stop at being happiness at their hurt. Jealousy, envy, wants to add to it by letting others know about it to build self up. That's what Haman's going to do. He wants everyone to know he's getting ready to kill all the Jews. And he's building the scaffolds to hang him on. See, first you see their prosperity, then jealousy feels threatened, then it feels dissatisfied with your status. So when you fail, or when you fall, you decide you want to cause trouble to them. And you're never satisfied. You wanted more and more trouble. Human history is the history when a man is down, many will come to kick him. When a person has some misfortune, many will come forward to add to their misfortune, to tell all they know. This is one of the most interesting things that can happen to someone like President Trump. Well, everybody now that had any problem, well, they're going to come forward. Someone, well, he smiled at me in the elevator. This type of thing. With whatever it is, they want to come and kick you while you're down. They never said a word before. But now all of a sudden, it's to their advantage to get even with the object of their jealousy. You can know a great deal about yourself, about your own sin flesh from jealousy. What happens inside of you when others are prospered? Is it reap jealousy? See? And you have to be careful here. There are a lot of things that don't make us jealous. We can drive through over here at Prestonwood or Highland Park. Oh, these homes are beautiful. And that's great. Now we're back home, we're happy. See? You let some relative get prospered in some way, and pow, all of a sudden, jealousy shoots through. So don't say you're not jealous, but you're picking all the things that you're not jealous about. Let's deal with areas that are your area. And driving through Highland Park may be your area. Maybe with the prosperity of someone in your family don't bother you at all. But the fact that they do. See, we're all different. Our sin natures are different. Our jealousy trends are different. Our envious trends are different. You have to know yourself and know what you have to watch. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. First Sunday of the month, let's remember communion. Let's close in a word of prayer. Jealousy, envy, Father, creeps and grows in our flesh nature. It's part of the immune system of our flesh nature. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've given us a cure. And it's so simple. Just trust your Spirit. That's all we have to do. And He pours in the love of your Son, which does not permit jealousy. What an awesome God you are, Father. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning in our lives and in the glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.